From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch the show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The United States Supreme Court heard arguments in a case that tackles an obscure-sounding electoral procedure, but that could have massive implications for our political system. On Tuesday, justices took up a case on gerrymandering, the practice of highly partisan redistricting that favors one party over another. Both major parties engage in it, but the Republican Party has been especially overt in its agenda to grab power through skewed district lines. One example before the Supreme Court was the state of Wisconsin, where Republicans held 60 out of 99 legislative seats, even though their candidates won less than half of all votes. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said during the arguments, quote, "If you can stack a legislature in this way, what incentive is there for a voter to exercise his vote? Whether it's a Democratic district or a Republican district, the results, using this map, the result is preordained in most of the districts." My guest is David Daly, editor-in-chief of Salon, digital media fellow for the Wilson Center for Humanities and the Arts and the Grady School of Journalism at the University of Georgia. His book is called Rat Effed, The True Story Behind the Secret Plan to Steal America's Democracy. He was in the court on Tuesday. Welcome to the program, David.
Thanks again for having me, Sonali.
So let's talk about what it was that specifically that the court took up. Gerrymandering is a broad issue. I mentioned Wisconsin was one example. What were the arguments of the court heard?
I think that is exactly right. This is a really important and potentially landmark case. Partisan gerrymandering has been with us for as long as there have been politicians, as long as we've had districts. They've tried to rig them to their advantage, to draw lines that favor them. You can trace it back to the dawning of the Republic. But in 2010 and 2011, something changes. You get a new kind of extreme gerrymandering. It's gerrymandering on steroids almost. And you're absolutely right again that it's the Republicans who really master this. In 2010, Republicans use redistricting and gerrymandering as their path back to power after Barack Obama and the Democrats had their big epic wins in 2008. And what this involved was a strategy to take back the state legislative chambers across the country that are responsible for drawing these lines. So in most states, it's the state legislatures that have the job of drawing districts. Republicans realized this and they said, well, if we're in charge of the process, we can simply run the entire thing. And the technology has gotten so good that these lines are nearly unbeatable. Now, the Supreme Court over the years has said that there is no constitutional standard governing a gerrymandering. So politicians have pretty much been free to get away with whatever they want and to draw lines as extreme as they want. The courts have largely deferred to the power of the states to do this. And once at stake in this case is whether the court can define a constitutional standard that says when partisan gerrymandering has gone too far. Gerrymandering these days is not the gerrymandering of Patrick Henry or Elbridge Gerry's day back in the 1780s or the 1810s. It's now done with, you know, amazing air and data analytics. So it's very different. Today's gerrymanders have the potential to last a very long time. And the courts seem to be understanding that they may have to get involved here in a more serious way than they have in the past.
And a majority of state legislatures are Republican held today, governorships as well, right?
You're absolutely right. We are a 50-50 country in many ways, but Republicans have complete control of Washington and also of 69 of 99 state legislative chambers. And they've drawn those legislative chambers in such a way that it's really, really difficult to take the control out of their hands. So in Wisconsin, as you noted, Democrats get 174,000 more votes for the state assembly in 2012, but they only win 39 of 99 seats. And this is a pattern that repeats itself across the country in Michigan, in Ohio, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Florida. A lot of the states that Republicans targeted, they were able to draw lines that really favored themselves in the states as well as in Congress. So Pennsylvania right now sends 13 Republicans and 5 Democrats to Washington. Ohio is 12-4. Michigan is 9-5. And you have a very divided court on this. You have 4 conservatives who for a long time have been really reluctant to involve the court in the process of drawing these lines. And based on the argument that I saw on Tuesday, all 4 of them remain really uninterested in putting the authority of the Supreme Court into the process of drawing district lines or saying when a district line favors one side or the other to an extreme. On the other hand, you have 4 liberal justices who worry that this is affecting democracy and who believe that there would be a way to craft a fair and manageable standard that would at least put, you know, if this was bowling, they'd be trying to put, you know, kiddie bumpers in the lanes to at least sort of, you know, keep things in the center and stop them from veering off one way or another into the extreme. And then you have Justice Kennedy, as he so often is, in the middle as the key voice, the key swing justice. Kennedy, the last time this comes before the court, says, I'm open to a standard, but I don't see one here. So it's been a decade, and now they're trying again with several new standards, trying to convince Justice Kennedy that he ought to be the 5th vote and come along on this.
Now, David, it seems so obvious if you just look at the maps of these districts that there's clearly some, you know, something nefarious happening here. What would it take to convince Justice Kennedy? And if he sides with the conservative justices, is this the end of the line that we basically accept that Republicans get to do this, you know, till another 10 years goes by?
Yeah, it's great. I think you've got it framed exactly right. I mean, the stakes of this case are huge, especially as we head towards 2020 and another cycle of a redistricting.
And 2020, because that's when the census takes place.
Every 10 years, right. 0 years matter, you know, much more than other elections, potentially. If you want a good clue as to Kennedy's state of mind on this, you can go back and you can read his concurrence in the Veef case from 2004, which is the last time the court took up partisan gerrymandering. It's short, it's only about 2,500 words, so I recommend it to everybody. And really what Kennedy says in this decision, and the court, when it decided Veef, was really similar to now. 4 conservatives, 4 liberals, 4 conservatives who didn't want to do anything on this, who indeed thought it was not a question that the court should even be taking up, and 4 liberals eager to try and find a way forward. Kennedy votes with the conservatives, but he writes his own opinion. He does not sign on to Scalia's opinion. And what Kennedy says is, I do believe that if we found a clear and manageable standard that would show us when there's an unquestionable partisan gerrymander, that I'm open to it. He's like, I don't see it here. He didn't believe that it had been presented before the court in that case. But he said that the same technology that makes it possible for mapmakers to draw these incredibly surgical districts might also reveal an answer to this problem. It might also at some point in time show a standard that would define when they went too far. And Kennedy said it would be bad if the court simply took itself out of the business of this and then a standard shows up. So Kennedy says, let's table this, let's come back and let's look at it again. So now there are all of these new standards. There's something called the efficiency gap, which aims to quantify the number of wasted votes. There's a partisan asymmetry test that essentially tries to show when the ratio of seats to votes has gone way out of whack, like it has when a party can win more than 50% of the votes, but actually win fewer than 40% of the seats. And there are computers that can model, that can take the same redistricting criteria that the politicians use when drawing these maps, and they can do hundreds of thousands of random sample maps that don't have the same partisan bias,
So
and
you
a court
can
can
basically,
compare
what you're
it.
saying is that the same technology that has been used to skew democracy can be used to set it right again. Now, what about the Republicans' own words? Shouldn't that play into the Supreme Court's decision? When you and I talked about your book, I think it was a year ago, we talked about the Redistricting Majority Project, where you can just go to the website, redistrictingmajorityproject.com, where the Republican Party says very openly, Republicans have an opportunity to create 20 to 25 new Republican congressional districts through the redistricting process over the next 5 election cycles, solidifying a Republican House majority. They are very open about their agenda and they talk in open terms about using redistricting as a way to get more political power than they really earn through votes. Is that going to play a role in the Supreme Court's decision making on this case?
They're able to be that open because the court has never defined a standard. So what they're doing is perfectly legal.
Right.
What has been really revealing is that all of the lawsuits in these states, however, show even deeper partisan intent because you can see all of their draft maps. You can see all of the efforts that Republicans in these states went to refine and perfect these maps and make them so that Republicans would win almost no matter how many votes they actually got. The goal essentially was to create districts that they could win for the next 10 years, even if they won far fewer than 50% of the vote in all of those elections. And a lot of that information has really convinced justices. I mean, you had Justice Sotomayor yesterday say, "So what exactly is the benefit to a democracy of all of this partisan political gerrymandering?" You had Justice Kagan and Justice Breyer looking at this and saying, "Okay, if the goal of these maps is to maximize partisan advantage over everything else, then maybe it's time for us to step in." What Breyer is proposing here is essentially a three-part test. He's saying, did one party have complete control of the entire process? And then he's saying, okay, did that party win an extreme amount of seats? And then finally, did that party win an enduring majority of seats? Like, did these lines essentially embed them in power? All of which sounds perfectly reasonable to us and to others. But to the conservatives on the court, to Justice Roberts, to Justice Alito, to Justice Gorsuch, they actually called this yesterday sociological gobbledygook. They took a look at this and they said, okay, it all sounds reasonable, but how do you prove it? And they said, how do you constitutionalize it? How do you put a number on it? And so the conservatives remain, I think, deeply opposed to involvement in this issue. The liberals are very interested in trying to find a solution. And you've got Kennedy in the middle who said, I want a clear standard. A clear standard might not exist. However, the problem is getting worse. Justice Kennedy could be in his last year on the court. He knows he will be replaced by somebody more conservative than him. So all of the arguments on Tuesday were essentially aimed at convincing Justice Kennedy that he had to get involved now, that the stakes are too high, and that if he doesn't, a democracy itself is in peril.
David, when is a decision expected? When could all of this come down? And if it does happen, if Justice Kennedy falls on, on the right side of the issue, which many might say is the left side of the issue, then how would it impact redistricting? I mean, do we then sort of sit and wait for lawsuits to be won?
I think you're right. It's a great question. And we will likely know the answer by June when the
Okay.
court hands down most of its decisions. What no one knows is, let's say Kennedy comes down on the right side of this, on the left side, as you say.
Oh,
I mean, let's,
let's
what
just
we
say
don't
on the side
know.
of democracy. I mean, this really isn't a left issue because we should say, Democrats use this process in California. And
Exactly.
so it's, they just haven't been as good as Republicans have. So really on the side of democracy rather than left or
Democracy and
right.
competitive elections,
Yeah.
and fairness in elections and real representation. The question is, what kind of a decision is this? Do they craft a really narrow decision? Do they craft a broad decision? And there are a lot of states that are getting a litigation ready. Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, North Carolina, Maryland, Texas. You have cases coming or already working their way through the courts in all of those states. They're all essentially waiting to see what the justices do here. There is a chance that they could come up with a standard that brings meaningful change and real fairness to redistricting. If they do not, I fear that we are looking at another decade of these maps. The computers are not getting worse. So the algorithms and the map makers that draw these lines after the 2020 census are going to have even better information. They're going to have more powerful computer software. It could be another decade before Democrats get another shot at the
It's
maps.
just
And
amazing.
if Justice Kennedy steps down and he's replaced by a fifth justice who's willing to call this non-justiciable, you could wipe this off the board as a Supreme Court a question forever. I hate to
Yeah.
sound apocalyptic, but I mean it's very serious, and this is a deeply important case. So I thank you for spending all this time on it.
Well, David, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to some of your recent pieces on this issue from our website. Thank you again.
Thank you for all your work. I appreciate it.
My guest is David Daly. He's the editor-in-chief of Salon, a digital media fellow for the Wilson Center for Humanities and the Arts and the Grady School of Journalism at the University of Georgia, and author of the book Rat Effed, The True Story Behind the Secret Plan to Steal America's Democracy. We've been discussing the Supreme Court hearing on a crucial gerrymandering case. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.